Welcome to You Are Not Broken, the only podcast that combines science, medicine, and psychology to re-educate your brain and help you live your best love life. And I'm your host, board-certified female urologist, Dr. Casperson. Hey friends, welcome back. I'm so excited to have back Dr. Hart, who's a sexual medicine physician in Canada, and you can find her at sexualfunctionclinic.com. We've podcasted before, I'll post that episode, but she was like my number one podcast listen, her and my mom. So apparently I need to have you and my mother back on because you guys are very popular.
We should come on together. It'd be a blockbuster.
First of all, my mom would love you, but who doesn't love you? Oh. You're on this Facebook group with like 12,000 female physicians. And like every time you say something, because it's kind of focused on female sexuality, like I'm just like, yep, truth bomb. Like it's just so consistently good, your wealth of knowledge in this area. So thank you so much for coming back.
Yeah, you betcha. I'm looking forward to it. It's fun.
So we decided to come together because there was a post in that group and it was specifically talking about, I think, a man who was having some sexual function issues and people were looking for advice of what they should do. And it kind of got into, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but kind of just saying he should be thinner and then he'd have a good sex life. And yeah. I think the corollary was like, there's plenty of thin people who have crappy, bad sex lives. So like, it can't be that simple. And we're kind of missing the whole point. And like your response to that was so amazing. I was like, would you mind podcasting about body positivity and all that stuff?
And this is something I'm quite passionate about. I mean, I live in a larger body and I'm also a doctor. And those things to a lot of people seem mutually incompatible, but it's because the medical community and even just society in general have told us that being larger is worse for everything without any actual significant evidence to support that. And so I see people, and I am one of those people who, you know, goes to the doctor for help and gets told just to lose weight. First of all, not helpful advice. And second of all, doesn't fix the fact that I've got a migraine headache or a broken leg or whatever it is. Like not everything can be related, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say like, where did we go wrong? You know, you and me being physicians, but like it's our training, right? Like it kind of comes down to our training and then just accepted dogma about the fact of that. Can you kind of go into kind of how we got here?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to it because, of course, we do know that there are certain things that are correlated with weight. Now, we don't have the evidence to know whether it's correlation or causation, but there's a correlation. We know that the heavier we are, the more likely we are to have diabetes. We know that some people who are heavy also go on to have heart problems or strokes, and that correlation somehow, and I really don't know how, somehow got cemented in the minds of the medical community that it's always that way. And then they started looking for other things like, what else does it cause? But nobody really does a lot of research on obesity. So that's not true. There's a lot of research. The only research that's done is on how to make large people smaller. There's very little research done on how much of a problem is this really? To what degree is there a correlation? We know there is one, but is it a small correlation? Is it everybody who's obese will get these problems? We don't have that information. The very few studies that have been done don't actually support the common dogma. I mean, one of the studies that was done recently showed the highest life expectancy of all people is in people who are larger. So what we consider a normal weight is actually a lower life expectancy than someone who's overweight.
Yeah.
How does that even make any sense, right? Like, how can you call it overweight if that's actually the healthiest weight?
And it's kind of that middle road of like, too overweight, lower life expectancy, too thin, lower life expectancy. It's kind of this middle zone that's actually seeing longevity benefits.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is the middle zone isn't where you might think it is. We assume that it's people who are generally relatively thin, and it's not. It's people who are considered overweight. That's the sweet spot.
So there's something protective about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So where did we go wrong in people with sexual dysfunction? And, you know, to say something flippant, like, we just need to lose weight to have better sex. I think it covers up all the like, body positivity stuff or just being fit, more physically fit to do a physical thing. Can you start like untangling the spaghetti of the complexity of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. I think it's because we have assigned a moral judgment to weight. So if you are bigger, it must be because you are not as good a person. You are lazy. You are, you know, gluttonous. You eat too much. You're generally a bad person. And if we see you as generally a bad person, then we want to assume you generally also have things like a bad sex life. Not to mention, of course, there are people who find larger bodies unattractive and they assume that that's universal. And so they're saying, well, why would anyone else want to have sex with you? You're overweight, you're big, you live in a large body, you have a belly. Why would anyone want to have sex with you? Completely overlooking the fact that one of the common stereotypes of obese women is multiple children. Like, it's a well-known stereotype. How did those women get those children if no one wants to have sex with fat people? Like,
interesting.
We have a big gap here, you know, where we assume that your sex life must be bad and that weight loss must be the cure to everything because you're big, completely ignoring a huge segment of the porn industry that caters to people who are attracted to fat women. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, body positivity is huge. You can be healthy and fat. There are marathon runners who are obese. There are weightlifters. I mean, a lot of weightlifters technically count as obese, but there are those who have, you know, a large fat belly and are incredibly strong. And we don't like to think about that because the people who are thin tend to assume they're thin because they're better than me. And if they're not better than me, if we have the same exercise tolerance, then all of what they perceive as their hard work to be thin went for nothing.
Right. And I think, you know, the medical establishment's one piece, but it's also the commoditization of sex, you know, how we totally sell everything with sex, that's portrayed as that, I'd say, very thin population.
Absolutely. You don't see fat girls on beer commercials.
Right. Like selling cars and selling hair products.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think also just like what we're seeing, all not just what our doctor tells us when we go in for help, but what we're seeing on an hour-to-hour basis, whether it's social media, commercials, stuff like that, is like to be sexualized is a thin person's privilege.
Very much.
So let's help out the women. Let's say the average woman in the United States of America is on the larger side. Like this isn't we're not talking to the minorities at this point. We're talking to the average, if not the majority of people living in Canada, in America, in the world at this point. So let's help her out. She's not having a great sex life. She thinks it's because she's overweight. Where would you start?
I would start with the perception of why she has a bad sex life. If you think it's because you're overweight, then you're going to have that hold you back. If you think that you can have a good sex life regardless, then you will. Our brain is our major sex organ. I mean, we think it's our genitals, but it's not. It's our brain. The magic happens in the brain. And if we don't buy into that, if we just assume that we can have a good sex life regardless of what our body shape is or regardless of what the number on the scale says, then we're already predisposed to doing better than if we believe the opposite. Mental hangups are going to be far more of a problem than actual body size.
I agree. And I think the mental hangup, if you're always chasing something to be good enough for sex or to be good enough to be desired, whatever it might be good enough to be able to have orgasmic equality with your partner. If you don't work on that part, you're going to chase it and you're going to be chasing it even if you do lose the weight. Because it's the mental hangup that's the problem, not the shape of your body.
Well, and this is the thing. So if you have sexual dysfunction and you're fat, and then by some miracle, you're the 1% who can actually lose weight and you still have bad sex, now what are you going to blame?
The problem's still there. It wasn't the size of the body. And I see this time and again, women are like, I thought I'd be happy when, I thought I'd stop beating myself up when. They're chasing it and they get there and they still haven't done the mind work. There's always something to beat yourself up about.
For sure. And we see this in lots of other areas too. I mean, obesity is one, but things like breast implants, people start with breast implants, then they want a bigger breast implant. Now they're getting lip injections because now their breasts are where they want to, but they're still not happy. And so they're looking for that next thing that's going to make them happy. And that's not how humans work.
That's a good point. Do the work ahead of time. You're like where you are now and then change things, because your happiness is, should never depend upon an external thing.
Exactly.
It's kind of like desire, right? Like you can't go get it and then have it. Like desire comes from within. It's something you create.
Yeah.
So women are like, yeah, Dr. Hart, easy for you to say, I should just love myself and have Bozzy, but it's so hard for me. Do you have any like tips and tricks of where people should start? Because they're stuck on the, like, it's too hard. Like the belief is it's too hard. So how do we untangle that?
Yeah, I wish I knew, because I still struggle with it every day. I mean, I'm the fattest doctor I know, and that is hard every day to feel not good enough, or to feel like I'm a bad example, or, you know, to work in sex medicine, especially, and worry that people coming into my office are going to be judging me. How would you know anything about sex when you're in this large body? So I think that I don't have any magic answers. I think knowing the facts is big. Knowing that there is no weight loss program that has ever been shown to work, that even surgery has a very high failure rate, that there is nothing that is a guarantee. And in fact, very few things can even move the needle. And when they do, it's temporary. For most people, the weight loss is temporary. So over my career, I've seen hundreds of people lose hundreds of pounds and they've all gained it back. I don't have anyone in my practice who has lost, you know, a significant amount of weight and kept it off. It's very rare. So first of all, knowing that that's not a reasonable expectation. You're not doing it wrong. It's just not possible to do. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to be healthy. That's the other thing I think that people mistake. They aim for weight loss, and when they fail, they give up because they're frustrated that it didn't work. If we aim at health, then every mile you walk, every step you take, every, you know, pedal on the bike is an improvement, is a success. Instead of every pound you didn't lose is a failure. So I don't, for example, talk to people about restricting calories or restricting their diet, because that doesn't work. It's not sustainable long term. But what you might be able to sustain long term is add more vegetables. Mm-hmm. We can still eat a healthier diet and have exercise as a good part of our life without actually losing any weight. So knowing the facts about obesity, that you can't really be expected to lose, that you can be healthy despite that, and that you can have a good sex life despite that. So if you're having a sex life problem, get help. Don't just assume it's your weight.
Yeah, that's important. I think the other thing that really is helpful for people that you said is so many people have this all or nothing thinking, or what they call black and white thinking, right? Like, well, I can't lose the weight, so why bother eating vegetables? Why bother exercising? And what you're saying is you can do healthy things, just don't tie it to like a kilogram or a pound on a scale.
Absolutely. And that, I mean, honestly, that's my entire story. I was a very active athletic kid. I actually was at a pre-Olympic level competitive swimmer. I was the best swimmer in my club, and I quit swimming because I couldn't keep my weight where they wanted it to be. And despite the fact that I was the best swimmer we had, I gave up because of my weight. Because the only goal that I was given, the only goal that I had was to lose weight. It wasn't to swim faster. It wasn't to be a better competitor. It was to lose weight. And when I couldn't, I gave up. And that has been the same. I stopped doing other forms of exercise because I never lost a pound. I stopped dieting because I never lost a pound. And honestly, the diets weren't healthy anyway, but I gave myself permission to just eat whatever I wanted, to have the junk food, to binge on things that weren't healthy, because the opposite never worked anyway. And I never considered my health until my 40s, when it became a bigger problem. And suddenly went, okay, but I can still eat healthy and be proud of myself for that, even if my weight doesn't change.
Beautiful.
But that, I mean, that took 30 years to get there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing your journey. I think the other thing that's so helpful with these conversations is for women to hear that you and I go through it, right? Because like, we're doctors, we must know something about something, but it's like that voice in our head of like, we're not good enough, or I'll be better when, or I should, all these shoulds, like, I have it. it's almost like a normal operating function of the brain to have it, which then when we normalize this conversation of like, all humans have this, like, am I good enough comparison? It'll be better when, like, it's as good as our brain has as far as like an operating system. And we don't need to think that that then can control our life.
And the thing about it that kills me is that we never look at the opposite, but the opposite, like, I know many thin people who survive on coffee and potato chips. They're not healthy, but they happen to be thin because of genetics, because of an eating disorder. I mean, I've seen some very scary thin people in my career, and nobody asks them about their diet. Nobody asks them about their exercise because we assume they're healthy because they're thin. And then the opposite is true. We assume all larger body people are unhealthy. We assume they're all eating junk food. And instead of asking them what they eat, we tell them to stop eating junk food. I mean, those thin people, some of them are thin because they have these same problems and they just manifest differently. You know, they have thinner genetics or they have an eating disorder and that makes them thin, but it doesn't make them healthy. So taking the focus off of weight, it helps on both sides of that equation, actually.
Totally. What do you do? So let's say a human comes to you and they want a better sex life and you kind of boil it down to it's their thoughts about their body as to why they're not enjoying sex or can't relax into sex or think they're not deserving of orgasms, whatever it is. Do you have tips for them? Is this the time to bring in a sex therapist? Like, what can that person do?
A sex therapist is always the answer. Honestly. So that would be amazing. Of course, that's not always easy to access for people.
They're harder to access than doctors for sure. And dentists.
Yeah, they are. And they're expensive. I mean, depending on what kind of coverage you have and things, a lot of in Canada, therapy in general isn't covered. And sex therapy in specific is never covered. So you're paying $200 or $250 an hour to see a sex therapist. That's not accessible to everyone. I think, though, there are some things that can help. So the concept of mindfulness is one that I talk to people about a lot. And really being mindful, like, okay, so you're too embarrassed to be with a partner because you're afraid, you know, your roles will jiggle. Okay, so let's try this alone. Can you masturbate? Imagine whatever you want in your head. Feel the pleasure. Have an orgasm. You don't feel the pressure because there's no one staring at your fat rolls. You just did that. You had that pleasure. You had that enjoyment. You had a good experience. What makes you think that you can't? You can, right? So actually pointing out the flaw in the logic can help a little bit. But then the concept of mindfulness, of being like, okay, how much of this is real and how much of this is me worrying more than I need to? I mean, you're in a relationship with someone who hasn't expressed to you that you're too unattractive for them to want. I mean, clearly you're here because they want sex with you and you're having trouble. Why don't you believe them that they find you attractive? And so just trying to point out those flaws in the logic and use mindfulness to turn that questioning into belief. So choosing every day to reaffirm, like, I have a body that does what I need it to. Does it matter if it jiggles a little while I'm at it? I have a partner who wants to have sex with me, so clearly I can't be that unattractive. And then affirming those things day after day. And it's a work in progress for everybody. There's nobody who achieves body positivity. Body positivity is a journey, not a goal.
I love that. Yeah, and don't beat yourself up on the journey. If only I had body positivity.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, like there isn't... I mean, nobody has achieved it. They're just people who are still working on it all the time.
I can totally attest to that. And I think the other thing to normalize is, like, news alert, everybody knows this, but we don't want to see it. Our bodies change as we age. Our bodies change when we get pregnant and when we have a baby. And then when we are done breastfeeding. And then when we go through menopause. And then when we get a hip replacement. Like, our bodies are constantly changing and appreciating the fact that we're only here because we have a body. And thinking again how amazing it is instead of like, well, it changed again. Like, of course it does. It, like, oceans have waves. Our bodies change. Any comment on something like that?
Just that I totally agree. I mean, I see a lot of people who were will come in and tell me they were very confident in their teens or their 20s when they were thinner, or they were, you know, they were okay with their body until after they had babies. And then they'll apologize for their weight gain and talk about how they, you know, they haven't lost their baby weight yet. Why do you have to apologize for that? Your body did an amazing thing. You know, your body made it into your fifth decade of life without letting you down. Let's celebrate that instead of worrying about the extra roll around your middle. Especially the aging thing kills me. We know that once you hit about your sixth decade, actually the smaller you are, the less healthy you are. In elderly people, losing weight is a death toll. Like it's awful. This is not a good thing. We don't want older people losing weight. If they're 300 pounds when they hit 65, we still don't want them to lose weight because that process will harm them. Mm-hmm. And knowing that we expect people to gain weight, that we want them to gain weight, that it's healthier for them to gain weight after menopause in the, you know, in their 50s and 60s. I don't know if it helps because there is so much pressure put on being thin, but I sure try.
I love it. The fact I can bring your voice out for more people to hear, because people really do need to hear this, because we actually have to counteract society, the sexualization of our capitalistic sales environment that we live in. And again, medicine, where we're a little judgy.
We are very judgy.
We're very judgy. I was downplaying we're very judgy. I see women, and I think just to comment again on health is the goal, when women age and men too, and they get more frail, like frailty is a sign of not being successful or at being resilient against what's going to be happening as time goes on. And for women, especially muscles are totally associated with longevity, not falling, not breaking hips. Muscles weigh a lot. We need to be physically active to keep our muscles stimulated, to be strong for us. And I think, especially when I look at the medical society, like nobody's the expert in muscles. There are very few doctors who are experts at muscles. And we're learning more and more how healthy the organ of muscles is for women's health, protection, prevention of frailty.
Yep, absolutely. You don't see many very, very frail obese people. Because we've spent our lives carrying around an extra 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, it means that we have more muscle strength because we have to, because to get out of a chair takes that much more work. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other one is osteoporosis. People who are built like me don't get osteoporosis. It doesn't happen because we've strengthened our bones by hauling around all this extra weight. And that isn't a reason for people to go and gain weight. Like, I'm not suggesting that by any means, but it is a healthy thing for older people to gain weight and maintain it. When they start to lose, that's when I get scared. As a doctor who deals with older people, I get scared when they're losing weight.
Beautiful. I love it. So I think, you know, to summarize for the sexual dysfunction individuals, for basically all of us who have thoughts, repetitive thoughts about our bodies, is losing weight isn't what's going to make you better in the bedroom. It's the mind work. I would say being physically active, so you have some stamina, so that
Absolutely.
You have great endorphins, you know, getting the sleep quality that you need. There's so much healthy, good body care to have great sex, but moving the number on the scale is not going to do it for you.
Exactly. We can and should be healthy. We shouldn't focus on the scale. And that's exactly what I talk to people about. There's a concept, and it's something that I think anybody who ever struggles with any of this should look into. It's called healthy at every size. And the point of it is how to maximize your health without even thinking about where you are on the scale.
Beautiful. Yeah. And pay attention to that black and white thinking, right? Because I'm here on the scale means I shouldn't do all these healthy things. And even if we can change that, it's going to be so much better for our health and longevity.
Absolutely.
Love it. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. This was great.